Praise, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and this is tape number 2 of Joel. And in this tape, we'll do the first 2 verses of chapter 1. And then tomorrow, Lord, and I'll do chapter 1, starting from verse 1 again. And then we'll do 2, and then chapter 3. But before we do, let's all go to the throne to ask the Lord to bless this tape. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise your holy name for eternal life, and we thank you for your word, the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you've counseled us and you've commanded us to put your mind on. And your mind is the word. And as we learn the word, as we press on to know you well, we just need to put away our mind and put your mind into our spirit and into the mind of our spirit. Lord, let every word sink into the mind of our spirit and our spirit and into our entire being. Because, Lord, I believe in the resurrection of the body, and I know that our spirit will be resurrected as well, if our body will. Because if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in us, in our spirit, then at the last day, you'll raise our bodies up. And they will be ecclesiastical bodies just like yours. We'll be just like you, Lord. But we have to be exactly like you are here in this world, as you were, in order for that to happen. So, Lord, of course, give us your Spirit, more and more of your Spirit. And we can't just ask for it and not eat it and drink it. We must eat and drink your Word, your Spirit, your life, your living water, in order for that to happen. It doesn't just happen. We have to have the initiative to put on your mind. And Lord, let the words of this tape that's said on this tape sink into every spirit, the mind of our spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's start reading.
The Holy Spirit at work. This book, Joel, is remarkable in the prophet Joel's references to the Holy Spirit.
Right, because Joel, he refers to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He refers to the day of the coming of the Holy Spirit, because he says that in the last days that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Up until that time, only prophets received the Spirit of the Lord. But he said that everybody in general, the entire world population, he will pour his Spirit on. Boys, girls, the old men and young men, men and women. So is the whole general population. This had never happened before in history until Jesus came into the world. And the actual fruition of it happened on the day of Pentecost, when 120 of the people in the upper room received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is that they were empowered inwardly with the power to be able to do the things that the Lord commands us to do. And then the Holy Spirit is to be given to everyone that asks for it. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means Jews, Gentiles, everybody. If you call upon the name of the Lord, and that means not just one day, but every day of your life. We have to call upon the Lord every day for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. We have to be refreshed. Our mind has to be renewed daily, and our spirit has to be renewed daily. In order for us to do that, we have to patiently continue on in doing that on a daily basis and continue, be in continuance of doing the things that the Lord tells us to. And remember, the Holy Spirit in us empowers us to do that, gives us the power to continue on to the end. so long as we take the initiative to seek the Spirit, as the book of Song of Solomon tells us to do. We seek for him. And as the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes tell us, and as it says throughout the whole Bible, if we seek him, he shall be found of us. Amen?
Amen.
So, read that statement again.
This book, Joel, is remarkable in the prophet Joel's references to the Holy Spirit.
It's remarkable because this prophet was able to leap hundreds of years in his vision that the Lord gave him of that people in the last days would be receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And John the Baptist says, ye shall have power. Power for what reason? After the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power to do the things that we have to do in order to get into heaven. Without that power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we cannot enter heaven. And we receive it simply by faith. Just ask the Lord. If you're short on faith, then keep listening to these tapes, because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing the word. By hearing, and hearing by the word. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, since you've been listening to the tapes, aren't you receiving more faith?
Yes.
Many people tell me they are. Amen?
Amen.
Because it doesn't do any good to just read over the things as though you're reading a poem and not understanding or seeking and studying the things that you're reading to know them. Because when you know what the scriptures say, that means you know the Lord. All right? So it's very important to know the Lord. Elsewise, on the last day, he'll say to you, I never knew you. And you, what's more, you never knew me. And so you're learning the Lord, all about the Lord. And you're learning that he's good. His main purpose is to make sure that you're preserved until the last day so that you can enter the kingdom of heaven. God is good. He loves you, and he wants you to enter heaven. He wants you to be with him. And a lot of people have made a lot of mistakes, done a lot of wrong things, and they've even sinned that are not sins unto death. And the Lord just calls people back to repentance. Just repent. He wants you to repent so that you can go to heaven. He's a good God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so read it again. Maybe I'll think of something else to say here from the Lord.
This book, Joel, is remarkable in the prophet Joel's references to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he refers to it. Amen?
Amen.
I will pour out my spirit, saith the Lord, on all flesh in the last days. Amen?
Amen.
That's how we know we're in the last days. Amen? Because
Amen.
We're receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit ever since the day of Pentecost. That's around 2,000 years. Those were the last days then. How much more are we in the last days now? Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
It is obviously the Holy Spirit who has inspired Joel to see God's hand in all that is taking place and to be able to jump forward to the terrible day of the Lord.
Right. He took a giant leap forward and he saw the final judgment, the judgment day, on top of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to the being filled with the Spirit, and that all flesh shall be, that God would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, old and young, men and women. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's just like, doesn't mean that everybody has it, everybody doesn't receive it. Now everybody says the Spirit's being poured out on you. I don't care who you are that's listening to this tape or in this room or in the church. The Spirit of the Lord is being poured out upon all flesh, and that doesn't leave you out. The Lord calls you. He wants to live in you, represent himself in you. He wants you to be an evangelist. So don't quit trying to be somebody else. Quit trying to use your own mind to figure out what you want to be. Do what the Lord wants you to be. Be who the Lord wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Be a Christian, evangelist, minister. And he gives you prophets, pastors, teachers, preachers, evangelists to teach you how, and helpers to teach you why should you be taught, for no other reason than to be evangelists and ministers for of the Lord, to minister him into the world population. Then what?
But the most astounding passage in the book of Joel is 2:28 through 32.
Okay, so read it.
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
That means the young men too, you know. Your sons and your daughters, amen?
Amen.
And then it goes into old men, young boys, and old men too. To keep going.
Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit.
You know, notice handmaids, you know. So if you're a woman, don't you feel, if you have the spirit, you've got the same spirit men have. If it's the spirit of God in you, it's the same spirit that men have in them. Amen?
Amen.
There's only one Holy Spirit. So don't you feel inferior, okay, so far as preaching the gospel, or in any way. All right, then what?
And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come.
He's talking about judgment there as well. Talking about the Holy Spirit to give you the power so that you don't have to face judgment, be terrified at judgment. All right? Then what?
And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord.
This is Jew or Gentile. Because back then, this is an unbelievable passage here. Because back then, only Jews could call upon the name of the Lord. Huh? But this is saying, in general, everybody, whosoever, amen?
Amen.
To call upon the name of the Lord, what?
Shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call.
In the remnant. Yes. So it's the remnant of Jews. Remember, the Lord killed all those Jews that left Egypt with the exception of two of them. And there's judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if the righteous scarcely make it into the kingdom of heaven, where do the unjust stand? So we can't be unjust. We have to keep putting on the mind of the Lord and applying the scriptures, the spirit, unto our souls every day, our spirits, the minds of our spirits, so that we are the same as Christ. All right? Then what?
Here Joel sees a time in the future, afterward, when the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. Young and old alike, men and women, will experience this outpouring. This portion of the scripture hangs suspended for hundreds of years.
Yeah, nothing happened for hundreds of years. The scripture was not fulfilled, so people were just thinking, oh, you know, it's just words. But then it happened, amen?
Amen.
Couldn't happen until the Lord came, fulfilled the word of God, died, went to hell, resurrected, and then ascended into the kingdom of heaven and became the Holy Spirit, as well as the Father and the Son. And then the three of them, which is one, not one part of the Godhead moved into your body, not just the Son, not just the Holy Spirit, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, and they all enter into your body as one. God is Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when he enters you, he's not a third of a God that enters. He's the whole God. The whole Spirit of God enters you, the whole being of God, the essence of God. Okay, then what?
The Spirit had come upon prophets and priests, but never had there ever been a massive, worldwide, general outpouring of the Spirit on all flesh.
Yeah, until Pentecost. And since then, it's happened. That scripture is fulfilled. Amen?
Amen.
So some people say, you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh, did you get it? Yeah, you know, like it's something that you get down at the dime store. It has far more significant meaning than anything else in this world. You must have the Lord living in you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You must be empowered with God's strength to endure the hardness of the tribulations. And believe me, unless God takes you between now and the end of these tribulations, you're going to need every ounce of God's power and strength that you can get. With the Spirit, we are far more than conquerors. We're far more capable. There's no one can be against us if the Lord is in us. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing shall prosper against him. There's no weapon formed that can prosper against those that are filled with God's Spirit and have faith in him to deliver them from every evil thing. All right, then what?
Then, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with such power and force that it captured the attention of the masses gathered in Jerusalem for the festival.
Right, there's thousands of them that got saved. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Peter then took hold of this prophetic section and declared...
From Joel. He declared. Okay, what?
Quote, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Acts 2:16.
Okay, read.
"But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions."
Okay, let's go now.
Okay. A new age is born. The church is empowered, and now...
The church is empowered. That means the Spirit now is inside the church, the believers. And there's nothing that can stop them. Not even they won't even slow down when they know they're going to die. They want to get crucified upside down, backwards, sideways, any other way, boiled in oil, head chopped off, whatever. Nothing stops them. Amen?
Amen.
Doesn't matter, because they know that they've got the power of God in them. They know that God is real, because they can feel him in their soul, in their spirits. And they know that the second that they are killed, they say, "We're going to kill you." You just say, "Well, go ahead. Hurry up. I want to go to heaven anyway. I want to be with the Lord." Amen?
Amen.
Make my day. There's no worry at all. Then what?
"And now," quote, "whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Yeah, but see, you're not going to feel that way unless you've got this. If you're not totally filled with the Spirit of God, the Triune God, when you have the Spirit of the Lord in you, there isn't anything that you fear except the Lord. And you really lose all you lose all satanic fear of God. You just fear and tremble at his word. You just know that you got to keep it, because that's your security. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only eternal security there is, if you just stay in with the Spirit of the Lord, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then what?
A brief outline.
No, then get the last thing, because that wasn't heard. The about all the call just before that.
A new age is born. The church is empowered. And now, quote, "whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Jew and Gentile alike. Old man, young boy. Old woman, young girl. Whoever. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
A brief outline of Joel.
Okay. Now here's what we're going to be reading when we're reading Joel. This is like an outline of it that I put here to where you're going to know, just as a sneak preview of what you're going to hear. Okay? Go ahead, read it.
1. The Lord's hand in the present. Joel 1:1-2:27.
Mm-hmm.
A. The destruction by the locusts. 1:2.
Yeah, the destruction of the land. The Bible says that this army has invaded the land. And what they what you read into it is that this was an army that had the teeth of like a lion. To them, it was like a teeth greater than lions because it took all the food out of their mouth. It killed them all. Amen?
Amen.
That's pretty strong teeth, the teeth of these locusts, right?
Right.
And it took the lives of all the cattle and the vines, the vineyards, wiped them out, the trees, the fig trees, the pomegranate trees, and even took the bark off of them. That was a terrible plague. Then what else?
The destruction by the locusts was 1:2-2:11. B, the repentance of Judah, 2:12-17. C, the restoration of the Lord, 2:18-27.
Right, when people repent, I mean, that really, they change their mind and start really serving the Lord, then God will restore you. But if you don't trust His goodness to restore you, He says, just come back to me, acknowledge, confess, admit what you've done, and get back to me and don't do it anymore. Repent. And He says, I'll restore you. Amen?
Amen.
So it's like the restoration of the... Here He does these things to the people, just like wipes them totally out, because they were sinning. And they were prosperous. They were really prosperous there. And when people prosper, they get a few bucks in their pocket. They forget about God. They don't need Him anymore. And so He creates a situation to where you do need it. You don't have anything in the world. And so there's no place else to look but upward. And if you want to lose everything you've got, just forget about God. He'll strip you of everything you've got. And maybe take your life, especially if you know Him. And then you do all these things. Okay, go ahead.
2, the Lord's Day in the future, 2:28-3:21. A, the grace or power of the Lord, 2:28-32.
Right, this is talking about the day of Pentecost. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
B, the judgment of the Lord, 3:1-17. C, the blessing of the Lord, 3:18-21.
Just only repent and I'll bless you, He says. So that should give hope to people that feel that they've done something in the past that they feel that there's no forgiveness for, that they're extremely discouraged. But just all you have to do is just turn your heart to the Lord and just give yourself totally unto Him, and He will restore you. As the prodigal son was restored when he came back to the father. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to do you any good to just think about all the evil that you've done and just be under conviction all the time for it. Just start, turn your heart to the Lord and start serving Him. Don't let the devil paralyze you with something that you may have unconsciously done or consciously. If there's no forgiveness, then we all have no hope, because every single one of us has done something in the past that we're not proud of. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The Hebrew name Yoel means Yahweh is God. This name is the proper...
Yoel is Joel. Joel, that we call Joel. It's Yoel, really. Y, what?
O-E-L.
Hyphen E-L. El is God, right?
Yes.
So this is called what?
Yahweh is God.
Yahweh is God. Okay, then what?
This name is the proper or appropriate name to the theme of the book, which emphasizes God's sovereign work, history.
It just tells about the way God's personality. He'll cut you off. So if you come into some money and you start forgetting God, He'll take the money away. It'll fly away so fast it'll make your head swim. Somebody will throw a lawsuit against you and use all the every penny you've got to pay for attorneys. They'll come and take your house. They'll take your cars. They'll take everything that is the possession, your possessions. They'll even take your personal photographs. your family heirlooms, everything. You can't get by with it. God won't let you. He doesn't care if you don't care if you're wealthy or got some substance. He'll take everything you got. He'll let them come in. A strange people that even speak a different language than you do, they don't talk about Jesus. Their language is about satanic things. And they get thrills taking things from people that are of the Lord that have sinned, because they know that the Lord wouldn't empower them to come and get your stuff if there wasn't something wrong with you. Unless it's a situation like Job went through. But it's obvious some people never thought of the Lord before, and then when they get a few bucks in their pocket, they become big time Charlie, you know? Big Daddy Warbucks. You better watch out. That's the most dangerous time of all. People really, when they're low, they don't have much money, they're always praying to God and thanking the Lord for even every morsel of food that they eat. But when you get money in your pocket, man, you get high-minded as you can be, as could be. You really think you're hot stuff, and you're the same, made out of the same dirt of the ground you was when you were broke. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
The courses of nature and nations are in his hand.
They're in the hand of the Lord. Nature, tornadoes, earthquakes, typhoons. Your own life is in the hand of the Lord. He can just take it anytime he wants. Your days and minutes and seconds are all numbered. Everybody's is. There's an appointed time that you must die, and you will not live one second longer. Okay, go ahead.
The purpose of Joel is to warn God's people of impending judgment and to urge them to admit their sins and turn back to God.
So this is the object of Joel. A lot of people read it, and they don't know why did God have it written? Why did God have this recorded? It's for our benefit. And it's good to know what it's all about. Read what the object was, the purpose of the Lord having Joel write this book and then record it and have it in the Bible for us.
The purpose of Joel is to warn God's people of impending judgment and to urge them to admit their sins and turn back to God.
Yes, because judgment, all of God's ways are judgment. If you're not right with the Lord, he'll just come, and you hear these words and you don't do anything about it, he can come any second and just take you out. He just flare up on you. And when he flares up, there's nothing you can do. It happens so fast that you can't stop it. You can't repent. There's no time for it. So beware. He had Joel write this so that you'd beware. He wants you to know how he is. He's not effeminate or, you know, just wishy-washy. He's God. So, well, I can't serve a God that could, kill people and things like that. Well, he couldn't be God because I wouldn't do that. Well, you see, God's not like you. He's not like me. He's God. You're just a little mud patty, a mud ball, huh? That he blew a little bit of air in. Just one breath, that's all you got. That he blew into your funny little nose. That's all. You say, I can take two breaths. No, you can't. You just take half a breath and then another half. All you got is one breath in there. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says so. Cease from man in whose nose is one breath. For how little is he to be accounted of? Just one breath, that's all that's in you. So you're only one breath from eternity. One heartbeat from eternity. And so he wants you to repent. Because who knows, maybe your time, your second is up. Sometime this morning, this afternoon, this evening, maybe when you're sleeping, And there's no big fight when the Lord pulls the breath out of you. You can't grab your chest or your nose and hold it in. It just goes out, and there's no big deal with it. The spirit just departs. You think you're going to flop around all over the floor and everything. The Lord doesn't take that long to pull the breath out. It's just like in a fraction of a second. He just flares up and it's gone. There's no pain in it. But my God, if your soul is not right with the Lord, that's when the tragedy really begins, and it never ends. All right, then what?
Joel was preaching to the people of the southern kingdom of Judah. Jehoiada governed Judah at the time for young King Joash.
Yeah. See, Joash was young, so Jehoiada, the priest, is the one that was governor. He was the governor. He appointed him governor over this particular section of land. Judah. Then what?
That's 2 Kings 11:2 and 2 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24.
Can you want to read them?
Okay. 2 Kings 11:2. But Jehoshabah, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons, which were slain. And they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber from Athaliah, so that he was not slain.
Yeah, because he was the king. The last of the people in the family that could be king. Then what?
Okay. And then 2 Chronicles chapters 23 and 24. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jeroham, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah, and gathered the Levites out of all the cities of Judah, and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the doors, and a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests, and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were to come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son, and put upon him the crown, and gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him, and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord. And she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, Treason, treason. Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host, and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, and whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Mattan the priest of Baal before the altars.
Yeah, that was the law. And these people were bodyguards for the king. They don't even let anybody in the house, right?
Right.
Then what?
Also Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David.
Okay. All right. So I got a call from Sanford today, and he was saying, well, I know what you're talking about when you say the people of the church are reading Hickory Dickory Dock, because he said when you're bringing these messages, everybody can tell that you study the Word of God. You don't just read over the Word. He says, I know now after hearing the different things that you're explaining, he says that you've studied and that I've just been reading over the Word, just like if I don't understand, I just forget about it. But the Lord tells you to study the Word. Amen?
Amen.
So you can be a workman approved by God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, rightly dividing the Word and pulling from all over the Bible to make your point, to convince people as a minister, that's what you're being trained for. I feel like training people for no reason at all if they don't have a desire to be a minister, because that's the only reason God wants you trained. Just for you not to have the knowledge yourself is just ridiculous. All right, then what?
It is in Jerusalem during a period of prosperity. The people had become complacent about their relationship with God.
Right, they had a lot of prosperity. They had the bucks in their pocket. Amen?
Amen.
All the food they wanted, clothes, nice beds, good furniture. Didn't need anything. Fine horses and chariots and whatever. They forgot God. Then what?
A verse key is, quote, return to the Lord your God.
This is the key verse. This is the key verse. Return to what?
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Yeah, in other words, you've sinned. You've forgotten me. And you're sinning. Not sins unto death, but sins that are forgivable. Now go ahead.
He is not easily angered. He is filled with kindness and is eager not to punish you. End quote. Joel 2:13.
Yeah, if the Lord gets angry with you, you just better start praying, don't kill me. And if you do kill me, Lord, don't send my soul to hell. I've had him angry at me, very angry at me before. Okay, then what? And I don't like it. It's terrifying. It is the most terrifying thing that could ever happen to you. Then what?
Joel is written to political and religious leaders, parents and children, brides and grooms, Joel and God's people. The power of confrontation. God's people had lost sight of their need for God and had become complacent about following the plan he had laid out for them.
Yeah, and the plan that he lays out for them and you and I, it's the Bible. It's all there, amen?
Amen.
And then what?
To break through their denial, God allowed them to
their
suffer.
Their denial to serve him. Then what? God allowed them to suffer. Okay? Then what?
God allowed them to suffer a series of disasters. Through their sufferings and the words of the prophet Joel, God let his people know that they needed to make some changes in their lives. God often intervenes in our lives in similar ways. He allows us to suffer the consequences of our disobedient, sinful behavior to wake us up from our denial and complacency. He comforts us with the painful reality of our wrong choices and actions. But we should find comfort in this because he comforts us not to destroy us, but to initiate the process of our restoration.
Yeah, it's comforting, like the time that I knew, but I didn't, I mean, I that I was beating people for some money many years ago, and the Lord cut me off from food and water and threatened that if I would drink food or water until this recording session was over with, because that's what I took the money for, is to do a recording session for a gospel group, just an older gentleman and his congregation, his family were the musicians, and he sang. And so I spent some of the money just thinking that, oh, I'll make it back or something, a little bit, but no money started coming in. And the Lord came down in condemnation on me and told me he'd kill me if I'd eat or drink. And I told you about this before, where one night after many days of no water and food in a heat wave, and fire was all over the place. They're in Los Angeles, they're putting out fires. And we were up in the hills of Zuma Beach, right next to Malibu, overlooking the ocean. And they had helicopters full of water, dropping water all over the place, and the fire was coming close to our house up there. And it was horrible. And one night I went to take a drink, because I heard this voice saying, it's not the Lord, your wife keeps telling you to drink, because I never told her that it was the Lord that threatened to kill me and send my soul to hell if I took, ate or drank. And then finally I told her, I said, look, the Lord told me. She said, you'll die, nobody can go without water this long. I said, well, Jesus went, and Moses went 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. And then Moses went again. I said, so if it's of the Lord, you will live. And it was supernatural. I did live through it. Of course, I'm talking to you right now. But this was, it was like a horrible thing to not have food and water for, I lost count on the 30th day. And I would be so hot and thirsty that I would feel partial. I was afraid that even my pores might drink water, but I asked the Lord if it's all right to just get in the water, and I would get in there and just sit in the cold water in the tub. And a light bulb came off the wall when I said, Lord, if this is the devil, do something to stop me, because I don't want to go to hell. I know you'll take my soul to hell. And that's when the light bulb with the fixture jumped off the wall while it was lit and landed right in front of my feet and busted. I was barefooted and I couldn't walk across there, so I knew without a doubt. Anyway, you'd have to be a maniac to not know that was the Lord. And it disconnected from the wires and everything, just jumped up for no reason at all, just like popped off the wall. A lit bulb, and it was lit while it was flying through the air without any cord on it. And so I know that the Lord does these things. That's why you need to know him, okay? This is the real God. And then I've been punished before by him on several other occasions for things that you're not thinking. You're just living your day out without thinking, Lord, am I doing the right thing now? Is this what you want me to do? You just go through your day without thinking. Never asking the Lord, what can I do now? Because you don't really believe he's there. And you don't believe he'll answer you. In other words, you don't believe in God. Because he does say, call upon me and I will hear you and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things. And he did answer me. Every time I call on him, he answers me. Amen?
Amen.
Therefore, I know he hears me. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
The importance of forgiveness. Joel stated
that... It's important to know that you can be forgiven, or else you'll lose all hope. And if you lose hope, you'll go to hell. You have to have hope. You have to have the vision that you're going to go to heaven. You have to focus on heaven and on God in heaven. I mean, the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have to know that heaven is in you. If you don't, you've got to believe in forgiveness. All right, then what?
Joel stated that the day of accountability was coming.
See, you have to believe in forgiveness, and you have to believe in forgiving. You have to forgive, and you have to believe in forgiveness. Because God has forgiven us for much more than what we ever have to forgive anybody else for. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, we think we don't want to forgive somebody for something. But the Lord said, I forgave you for the most horrible things in the world. The Adamic sin that caused me to have to come and die, and every other filthy thing that you've ever done in your life, and all your evil thoughts. And so the people that I'm asking you to forgive haven't done near to you as to what you have done, secretly done, in your life, or have done that is out in the open, whatever. So that's why I require you to forgive people, and if you don't, and it's 70 times 7, and if you don't, I cannot forgive you either. Now he says, I want you to remember that. So it's forgiveness is importance. To believe that you're forgiven. And you can't believe that if you don't forgive. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't keep the commandments, how can you believe that you're going to be forgiven? Because you're just living one day after another, doing the same thing you always do. Forgetting God. Because you got a full belly and a bed to sleep on and something to look forward to at night, you know, that you've got a bed to sleep on. Amen?
Amen.
And you got a refrigerator that's got food in there and a pantry, which you seek far more than you do the Lord. Okay, then what?
But with his message of warning and judgment, he also gave those who heard him some grounds for hope through repentance.
Right. If there was no repentance, well, then there's no hope. Amen?
Amen.
You can't be guilty if you repented for something that you did when you were 6 years old. Amen?
Amen.
And some people were real weasels at 6 years old. 5 and 6 and 10. 8, 9, and 10. Amen?
Amen.
Did a lot of bad things. And the Lord saw it all and knows all about it. He knows about you, no matter who you are, or how, no matter how insignificant you think he is, and how little people, maybe other people have paid attention to you in your life, or maybe they've paid a lot of attention so that you don't feel that you care whether the Lord pays attention to you or not. But whether you like it or not, he's paying attention to you. He knows everything about you. Me too. Okay, then what?
Repentance allows God's people to experience healing through God's forgiveness.
Yeah, you need your soul, your spirit healed. Amen?
Amen.
So that you can have, you must experience forgiveness. And you must let other people experience forgiveness from you towards them. You have to be forgiven and you have to forgive. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. And then you're going to have a miserable conscience. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? Is this too much learning? Mm-hmm. Is it boring you to have so much wisdom thrown at you at one time? Well, no. I hope not. Then what?
Like the nation of Judah, each of us would love to change some of our past actions and choices. But rather than changing the past...
We can't change the past, amen? So amen. We have to have forgiveness, amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
But rather than changing the past, God provides a means for resolving our past bad actions through forgiveness. Recovery is built on...
That's a big thing with God, is forgiveness, amen?
Amen.
He came into the world to forgive us. He said, but yeah, our former sins. Yes, but also there's a lot of sins that we could... That thing that I did, I was saved. And I went and committed the sin. It was wrong. It was so bad that the Lord threatened to kill me and send my soul to hell. But he forgave me. Once I went through the fast and did what he said to do. So that isn't just for me, it's for you too. Amen?
Amen.
Have you ever done anything wrong since you've been saved? Don't lie. Huh?
Yes.
You have? Have you?
Yes.
All right. How about you?
Yes.
Everybody seems to... Everyone that did sin after you've been saved somewhat. Raise your hand. Okay. Me too. All right, and I thank God that he forgave me. Thank God for forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah for forgiveness.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
It's God's forgiveness. Then what else?
Recovery is built on the foundation of both receiving and granting forgiveness.
You have to receive forgiveness from the Lord, and you have to grant forgiveness to others. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
God's power is limitless. We are easily overwhelmed by the power of God's fury in nature when it is unleashed in its fury in an earthquake, volcano, or hurricane. When we look at the Pacific Northwest coastline, we marvel at how the ocean has carved out cliffs and caves. But none of these powerful acts of nature can compare to the overwhelming power of God. When we are powerless, God invites us to come to Him for help.
Right, if we see a tornado coming our way, we're powerless. So he says, come unto me, you know, ask and I'll do it. Well, by George, you know, and by God, whenever we see one coming, we start praying. Amen?
Amen.
You don't just sit there and chew your nails. That isn't going to do you any good, okay?
Amen.
Because the Lord will just let it rip right through your house and nails and all. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
In Him, we have all the power we need to overcome our problems and dependency. God's power within us. Joel prophesied a time would come when the limitless power of God would be poured out upon us through His Holy Spirit. This promise implied that God would be directly available to His people. It was fulfilled in the coming of God's Son, Jesus, the Messiah, and in the pouring out of God's Spirit into each believer after Jesus ascended into heaven. This truth is of utmost importance to us in the process of getting right with God. God is with us, the power we need to overcome our dependency or compulsion through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Joel chapter 1.
Okay, and this is going to be verse 1. I'm only doing 2 verses here because I think we've done enough for one setting. Amen? All right? And then we've got like 3 chapters to do here. And I'll do 1 tomorrow, God willing, and then 1 the next day, God willing, and then 1 the day after. And then we'll be done with this book. Amen?
Amen.
Aren't you glad we did it, though?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Chapter 1, verse 1.
See, the Word of God is supposed to encourage you to turn away from your own ways and go the way of the Lord. And then there's forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
For everybody. He, you know, somebody might hate you because you've got pimples or the way you comb your hair, whatever. But the Lord, He doesn't care who you are. He looks on the inside of you. Amen? Not the way you look. And He'll forgive everybody that turns their heart to Him and serves Him. And I'm sure He'll even take your pimples away, if you ask Him to, all right? All right, then what else?
Chapter 1, verse 1, King James Version. The word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Commentary, verse 1. The Lord gave this message to Joel, son of Pethuel. Verse 2, King James Version. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers?
Has there ever been an attack of this locust in your day? Amen? Now this is paralleled also with today's happenings, as the Lord stated it would happen in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew. You look back to people 70 to 100 years old, 120, even 50 years old. Has anything like this ever happened before? We used to distribute literature around the White House, you know, and you could go in and out of the White House, and there's tourists. Right now, at this present moment that I speak, and this is February what?
11th.
The 11th, 2004. That you can't get near the White House if you try. There's like blockades 2, 3, and 4 blocks away from there because there's so much threats on the White House. People just want to, you know, do bad things. And they've got police, military police, FBI there. This has never happened in our lifetime before, has it?
No.
Okay, well, this never happened in Judah before, so just keep reading.
Commentary, verse 2. Hear this, you leaders of the people. Everyone, listen. In all your history, has anything like this ever happened before?
Has there ever been a plague like this that just stripped us of all of our food? Every human being, every cattle, all the sheep, all the goats, are they, there's nothing, all the vines, never has. Well, tune in tomorrow and we'll have another tape for you. It'll be chapter 1, the book of Joel. Till then, this is Tony Alamo, and God bless you. Praise the Lord.